Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Daryl Hikes Live. My name is Daryl Hikes and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes and approximately 0 seconds. So, hey, let's pray and get right into the program. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that you speak through my vocal cords, you think through my mind, and it's all of you and none of me. And today, people are blessed as a result of hearing your word. And so let's just get right into it. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the holy angels that minister to us. Thank you for the people that are in our lives. Thank you for meeting our needs, wants, desires, occasions, and demands according to your riches and glory by and through Christ Jesus. And thank you for all the ministers and the people that are in our lives to help us mature and grow and learn and be encouraged about the things of God. And I thank you that you're not mad at us. You're not angry. You're not upset, and that sin has been dealt with. It's been taken care of. Jesus took care of all sin once and for all mankind, period. So that's been taken care of. And even if we make a mistake or we do something wrong, we can come to you and we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we can invoke what he's done by grace. See, we can say, look, Jesus already took care of it. Now, that doesn't mean we intentionally sin because of grace, but if we make a mistake, because you look at the heart, you know our intentions, you know our heart, and because you're so full of love and you are love, mercy, your mercy, kindness, goodness, you've always got our best interest in mind. We can sit down and talk to you about those things that need to be corrected and changed in our lives. And we know that you hear us and that you answer our prayers and that all the promises of God are yes and amen. And you've got a good plan for our lives, you know, a good expected end, according to Jeremiah. So we just thank you, Lord. And today is a good day. It's the day that you have made. And we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. So we're going to get right into the word and just, you know, amen. Hey, that's amen. It's all right. Today, we're just going to keep it simple. I mean, it's a good day for church. I really don't know where everybody is that's listening, or, you know, if you went to church as a child, as an adult, if you went and then you stopped going because of something happened. Right now, the church at large is dealing with a lot of church hurt and a lot of resistance to going to church, because I've heard terms like it's just a crutch for people with weak minds. It's, you know, organized religion is controlling. And no, that's not true. I assemble with those of like precious faith, number one, because I want to, and number two, number one and number one, because God asked me to. God, my God, the God I serve, the God I love, he doesn't demand things of me. He'll simply ask me, hey, Daryl, I want you to go to church. I want you to assemble with those of like precious faith. Why is that, Dad? Because of this, and this. You know what? If you have your Bibles, and if you don't, I'll be reading out of the King James Version. It's actually a Kenneth Copeland personal notes edition Bible. And it's the New Testament. It's a King James Version. It's a Kenneth Copeland personal notes edition. I'm waiting on my pastor, Dr. Creflo Dollar, to go ahead and make a Bible with his personal notes so I can get me one of those. But you know what? I've learned something. The ministers that I'm associated with, and even the ones that I'm not, you know, that I may listen to and follow and really get encouraged from what they have to say and learn about things of God, I don't have a problem with ministering their messages, because it's coming from God, so it's coming through them. So instead of me trying to get my own revelation or my own message that's going to change the world, which, you know, your messages should change the world. But I don't have to, as I've heard it say, reinvent the wheel. I mean, I woke up this morning and it was on my mind last night to, okay, what am I going to talk about on the program today? And I just put it out there because God does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. God knows my thoughts. So I was thinking, okay, what am I gonna say? And let me say this. Okay, let me say this. I am a spirit. So when I say I was thinking about what I'm going to minister today, that was me talking to God about what information is going to be in my soul so that it can come out through my mouth, my body. Does that make sense? It's like this. You're standing in the grocery store and you have a taste. Not what, look at this. It didn't say, you don't, let me see. I want to make sure I say this in a manner by which it's not contradictory. Okay. I can stand in a grocery store and I'm looking at ice cream. Now, I'm giving an example of what I used to do, and because I make a conscious effort to not eat sugar, because sugar for me is addictive. It's very similar to a drug. It's addictive, you know. And if you go in a grocery store, or you go in, you know, if you go somewhere to get food, or, you know, look to see if there's sugar in there, and then find out, what is the sugar doing to your body when it goes on the inside? What is it doing? I had something happen that was, I was like, wow, that is, when you've cut sugar out, because it's been about a good maybe 5-6 years since I consciously, on purpose, ate sugar, because I'm not going to say that, you know, I've never had any sugar, because there are things that have sugar in it that I may eat and not realize it, and then God will go back. Oh, my body will tell me, hey, man, it's got sugar in it, because I can literally, oh, well, let me just get you the story, and then I haven't forgotten about standing in front of, you know, at the store deciding which kind of ice cream I'm going to get. I hadn't forgot about that. Okay, here's the deal. I work for a delivery company where I deliver food. That's just something I do in a part in my, I'm not going to say spare time, but what's happened is I don't want to live in debt anymore. I refuse to live in debt. Debt is not good for me. For me, you know, I'm not going to say debt is a sin. That's between you, your God, your bank, whatever you do, that's up to you. I read the scripture that talks about, owe no man nothing but to love him. And I read a couple of another version where it talks about, get out of debt, stay out of debt. Don't keep being in debt. It read like that. Just pay it off, get out. And because it's a freeing, you're free. You have the sovereignty to make decisions. Debt comes with, you know, if God were to tell me, okay, Darryl, I need you to move over here, could I do that? Or no, well, first I got to sell a house, and then I got to try to do this, and I got to, you know, I want the liberty and the freedom to be able to, hey, you up and you go. I don't want to be tied to a job because I have to make sure that that's coming in so that I can pay this, which I do everything to put yourself in a position to where you don't have that type of, you're not engaged to that, or you're not tied to that, or as people say in a marriage, you know, tie the knot. You're not yoked to that, the yoke of bondage. Now, I don't want people getting to where they're condemned, and, you know, if you happen to, you know, be in debt, or you're facing some type of foreclosure, or, you know, you're facing bankruptcy, whatever it may be, just remember, God loves you. His grace is available for you. You're going to be okay. He's going to help you But you have to go to him and find out, how did I get in this situation? What do we need to do to get out? You know, God is just that simple. Thank you for correcting me. The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who's now currently dealing with man. See, the Bible talks about God is in heaven. And it says that Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. So if God's in heaven, Jesus in heaven, and I know that all three of them live on the inside of me, and that I have angels that assist me. But the Holy Spirit is the, because Jesus said, I will send you a helper. So the Holy Spirit is the one that's on the earth. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He convinces the saints that we're no longer sinners. We are the righteousness of God, and we have already been judged based on what Jesus did on the cross. So we are free to live a righteous life, a holy life. And holy doesn't mean you're not wearing, you know, don't wear a skirt or don't wear makeup or, you know, if you cuss, you're going to hell. That's not what holy is. Holy is being one with God, which means you're in the Word, and if God, you're in the Word, and God speaks to you through His Word to where you can now walk out this life. Okay, don't go here, turn there. Go over here. Okay, now, see that person over there? They just need a hug. God speaks like that. Those are things, if it's going to hurt someone, harm someone, tear someone down, now that doesn't mean if you tell someone the truth, but you still have to do that in love. And the Bible is clear. A soft answer turns away wrath. It's not necessary. It's not always a lot of times what you say. It's how you say it. The presentation. Well, you know, she needed to be told what I had to say, what I had to say. No, you didn't have to do nothing. You didn't have to cuss her out. You didn't have to be mean about it. You didn't have to be irritated and frustrated, and you know, we kind of make excuses for stuff that we want to do, and then go back and say, well, I couldn't help myself. You can help yourself. I love the commercial where I think it was a road rage commercial, to where this guy, he's driving, and then the person in another vehicle does something that they don't like, that the guy didn't like. So he stops his vehicle, and then the guy stops his vehicle behind him, and he jumps out of his car, and he's walking back towards the vehicle, and he notices, oh, it's Evander Holyfield. Isn't that something? Now, he managed to control himself to the point to where he realized, you know what, it may not be beneficial for me to go back here and be out of control. Because he maybe didn't want Evander putting them hands on him. You know, put them things on him. But the whole point of it is, let's just start working on getting to a point to where we don't have to deal with the negative consequences. Because consequences can be good or bad. It just depends on what the decision was. We don't have to deal with the consequences of a negative reaction to a situation. You know, think about the term reaction. Most of the times you hear the word reaction when it comes to chemical compounds being mixed and things happening, or an adverse drug reaction, an adverse reaction to a medication, which most of the time is not good, you know. And actually, I'm going to study it out, but I believe that word reaction is rooted somewhere in allergies. I'm almost positive, because it's like there's a difference between a sensitivity to something and being allergic to something. Like, I'm allergic to sin. I'm allergic to sin. Well, what do you mean? Okay, it's simple. An allergy is a reaction, is when you have a negative reaction to something that you shouldn't partake of. So if I decide to go commit a sin purposely, knowing what I'm doing, there's going to be an adverse negative reaction that I don't like. Somehow people think, you know, well, I'm under grace, so I can just go sin because grace abounds where sin abounds. Grace does much more abound where sin abounds. If you look in that statement or that word that was said, grace does much more abound where sin abounds, but that means there's still sin there. Well, Jesus took care of sin. So why are we getting involved in something that was already taken care of and then go back and say, well, let me employ some grace? Jesus already employed the grace. So what he's saying is, look, you may want to make better decisions as to what you're getting involved in. Because if I've delivered you from something, why are you going back? And that was brought to my attention earlier this year concerning debt. I've been out of debt. I've been completely, totally, 100% out of debt financially. I'm going to put it like that. Three times in my life. I joined the military when I was 19. I turned, and then I left on my 20th, like a little after my 20th birthday. And I didn't have any debts. Then I went and I got a car with a loan and everything. And so I got my car payment. And then when I joined the military, well, they sent me information for credit cards. So I accepted their offer, got a bunch of credit cards, started buying clothes and rims and food and going places. And it didn't take long before the credit cards were maxed out. Okay. So now I'm spending money. I'm in debt. And I have somewhere to live because I was living in on base. Then I had, because I had somewhere to live. I had clothing because they provided the uniforms. So I had clothing. So anything I bought, it was just for me. So I got food. I got shelter because I could eat over at the child hall. What do you call it? Child hall. So I had food, clothing, shelter, and I had money coming in. But based on my decisions, I decided I want rims because I want to start being like other guys. I want to outdo them. Other people. So go get me some rims, get me a nice stereo, install, put it on a payment plan, don't pay cash for it. And then, but the challenge was I had never been trained in how to pay off my bills because I went from, living at home with my folks, because I went from high school to college for a year and I decided that college wasn't for me. Got put on academic probation, didn't really go to class. I had an illness. While I was at college, I got sick, had an appendectomy, hanging out. I wasn't focused. College wasn't for me at the time. I put it like that. I went because I felt like people tell you, well, where are you going to school? I'm going to go here. And so I went to school, but I was struggling in high school. So why would I go? I went from one level of struggle to another level of struggle. So I'm in college. Then I decided not to go back after the first year. So I got a job and I'm working. I get laid off 6 months after I decided not to go back to school. So by November, I'm laid off, but I'm work well. Let's see, yeah, I'm laid off. So now I'm drawing an unemployment check. I'm living with my parents. I'm like 19 years old. And everything that could possibly, I thought, could go wrong was going wrong. However, when I look back on it, I realize all of this was God's plan for your life doesn't always look like his plan for your life. But there are certain things that you're gonna go through as a result of just other people's decisions. Sometimes it's the timing of a situation. You know, it may be a location that God doesn't want you at, but he needs you to be at this other location. So he used the sport of basketball to literally get me to where I am right now. But so let's go back to, and I know the title of the message is so far away from what I actually, what I'm talking about is far away. But, you know, somebody out there, I just choose to believe that somebody needs to hear what I'm talking about right now. So I joined the military. Some stuff happens. I decide I got to get away. I gotta go. I can't live where I was living at anymore. Not because I was getting put out or anything like that. It's just, I knew that the way I was raised up in the military, traveling and moving around and stuff, God was trying to get me to Tucson, Arizona, because that's where he knew I would go ahead and submit my life to him. So with the Holy Spirit, let's correctly identify who we're talking about. So I joined the military, and then they give you a choice of where you want to be stationed. So I put everything West Coast. I wanted to go to Los Angeles Air Force Base. I wanted to be with any base in California, because I'm a West Coast guy. I grew up my Lakers, my Dodgers. I mean, the King, L.A. Kings. I mean, I'm a West Coast dude. And so, well, actually, specifically L.A. because my dad grew up. Well, growing up, my dad, he was a Irving Magic Johnson fan, a Lakers fan. So I liked the Lakers because my dad liked the Lakers. In our home, we watched the Lakers. So I said, man, I want to move out there and live. And I would see, you know, it's Hollywood and, you know, live a life and just all of that. But getting back to the debt. So in the military, ran up all these credit cards. Then I start hanging out with people to where I said, well, I'm going to go to the casino. So I decide, hey, got this money coming in. I'm going to go to the casino. So I go to the casino. First time I go, I hit for $600. Oh, I'm liking this. Yeah, I'm liking this. So then, okay, the next weekend, man, I'm going to go out here. Went out there, hit for $300. So out of total, out of all of that, I think I brought in something like, in two weekends, like $1,000. I'm liking this. So then I'm starting to go out there, just not on weekends. It's Monday. Let me go check this out. So I go out there. I think I might have hit for maybe $50 or something like that, you know. But now we're developing an addiction, because now I find myself going out there every day. And this goes on for about maybe a 2 or 3 month period. Now I'm becoming a regular. So it finally hit a point to where I'm not paying my bills, but I'm going to the casino. So I'm in the casino. I have $60 to my name. None of my bills are paid. So I said, well, let me see what's up. So I'm paying $5 slots, $5. So I'm down to my last $5. I put it in the machine. I hit for $250. That's enough to not only pay my bills at the time, but then I still have additional money. Well, I'm thinking, if I can hit for $250, I can hit for $500. So I put all $250 back in the machine, and I left out of there with nothing. So now I didn't have to. I chose to. I called my dad. I said, hey, and that's one thing I always did. And I would call my mom and talk to her, but when it came to certain decisions, I would talk to my dad. Because I always wanted to make sure I gave him that level of respect to where I'm not just going to my mom and trying to get my mom to get my dad to do something, you know. And I realize I'm a 48-year, you know, young man, and, you know, I'm talking about my mom and dad stuff. But I always wanted to maintain that level of respect to where I could go to him man to man and talk about things. And then he would talk to my mom about it. But then, you know, they would, I guess they would agree together, because I know my mom. If I call up and say, hey, I need to come back home, I mean, she going to be cool with it. My dad would too, but I'm just saying. So, at that point, they sent me the money and then to pay the bills. But then we talked and I said, hey, look, I made some bad decisions. Can you help me financially to where I want to get out of debt? And so we talked about getting a loan from the credit union that they use, to where they sent the checks directly to my creditors and paid those off. So I'm debt free now. Well, I'm not debt free. I'm not getting the phone calls. I'm not that. I just need to pay the money back. So took about maybe a year, and I paid it off, and I'm debt free again. Well, I was debt free as far as having paid it off, but I never dealt with the root. So about maybe a year later, I'm right back in the same situation. Then some 10 years later, I get married, and, you know, my wife, we work on getting out of debt and so forth. And so I'm out of debt. Well, my credit had got to the point to where it was good, to where I could now get credit cards. So I got me some credit cards. I'm making some what people would consider good money and everything. And one day I go into my job, and there were a couple of situations to where I was asked, or I was going to do, well, I wasn't going to do it. I was asked to do it, but I voiced my opinion concerning something that I felt was outright wrong, immorally, you know, ethics, everything. So I said something about it, and well, as a result, I was no longer employed with that company. So at that point, I had credit card debt, and I had mortgage and everything. So now I got to figure out, okay, what am I going to do, because, you know, I'm no longer employed and things like that. And God's worked it out to where, well, the Holy Spirit worked it out to where I had some money put aside, and so I took care of this and did that and all those kind of things. But I was still in debt. And so now, this past year, what I did was, because I still had credit card debts, and I kept getting credit cards and using them for stuff. And so finally, I just made a decision. I said, you know what? This is what the Word says. The Word says in Romans 13:8, owe no man nothing but to love him. And I made a quality decision. That's how I'm going to live my life. So my number one goal is to pay off the debts. And if for a period of time, I just have to. Now, does that mean I get rid of all of my credit cards? You do need credit cards for some things. I fully understand that. But if you don't have the money to pay it, then don't. For me, I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to use it, because I want to be in a position God wants me in, to where I am free to worship and serve him freely without having to be concerned about, I got to pay this guy, and I got to pay that guy, and I got to pay this lady. I'm not living like that anymore. Nope. Nope. Mm-mm. So if, you know, here's the thing. There's one debt that needs to be taken care of, the debt of love that God has for you. Well, excuse me. Let's take care of this. If you're not born again, repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for me. Today, I exchange my sins for his righteousness. What he did on the cross secured my salvation forever. I believe it. I receive it. I'm saved. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. Heaven is rejoicing. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk soon.